verses 8 through 17 and 25 through 27. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you. And he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we celebrated in Acts chapter 2 the advent of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, up until that day. And Pentecost, by the way, is a Jewish holiday. You will find that every great thing that God does in the church is done on a major Jewish holiday. How about that? And so Pentecost, what kind of a number do you think Pentecost is talking about? Penta. What kind of? 550. So Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Alright? And it's one of those holidays that God requires his people to be in Jerusalem. So many of the Jewish holidays you could observe at home, but there were a few of the Jewish holidays that you had to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to celebrate that particular holiday. And so we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that took place on Passover, and the resurrection and all that happened. You will find, if you do any intense study, that Jesus was most likely born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles happens in the fall. We know that Jesus was not born at the end of the year. He wasn't born in the middle of summer. He was born in the fall, and Tabernacles is one of those holidays that you're supposed to be in Jerusalem for. So although they were traveling to Bethlehem, or traveling to back to Bethlehem for the registration for taxation under Rome, that during the time of Tabernacles, each little village would set up a tabernacle for people to come and rest in, to take refuge in, as they were on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so, yes, there was no room in the inn. There wouldn't be on a pilgrimage holiday. And so they spent the time in this, well, we don't know where. We often have the stable scene only because we know that they laid Jesus in a manger. But guess what? Mangers were all over town. Okay? It was an agrarian society. And so every little house would have a manger for its goats or its sheep or whatever. So, anyhow, all that aside. And so we have here Jesus talking about promising the Holy Spirit. He's getting the guys, the people that would become the pillars of the church, ready for the fact that he's leaving. And he must leave so that the Holy Spirit can be sent. Up until this time, throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, whatever, the Spirit of God never came and stayed in a place. The Spirit of God would come upon a person to accomplish a specific act and then would leave. Look at Samson. All right? When he said he would shake himself, all right, and the Spirit of God would come upon him and he'd rise up and he'd break off those ropes and all that good stuff, and then the Spirit of God would leave. You look at the rest of the judges, the Spirit of God would come upon them and they would rise up and they would do mighty things, but the Spirit of God didn't come to stay. It was just there for a short reason. Jesus put an end to that. Now, even in the life of Jesus, the Spirit of God came to him when? At his baptism, and stayed with him throughout his baptism. All right? And so this was the first time that we see the Spirit of God coming into a situation and staying. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, he took the Holy Spirit with him. So now we have a situation where Jesus isn't there. We know that Jesus stayed for 40 days after the resurrection. He stayed for 40 days, and then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. That left 10 days until the day of Pentecost. And so Jesus told them, oh, you wait for me, and then you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And there were a bunch of people that went to that upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. But you know what happens? We have responsibilities. We have businesses to run, or whatever. And the 120 people that were left in that upper room on the day of Pentecost was just a small fraction of the people that started off waiting for the return of, or for the coming of the Spirit of God. All right? And so I wonder how many of those people just left just the day before. I'm sorry, I've been here for 9 days waiting for this so-called promise of the Spirit, and I can't wait any longer. I've got to go back to farming. I've got to go back to fishing. I've got to go back to, corralling my sheep or whatever the case may be. I'm wondering how many people lasted 6, 7, 8, 9 days and finally said, I'm sorry, there's just responsibilities that I have. And they missed the 10th day. The day of Pentecost. And we read about that. If first of all, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that the Spirit of God lit on these people, they had a little coven fire, piece of fire. Only it happened one other time when the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. And they came down and they were speaking in known languages. And the people there heard, you know, their language. How can it be? These guys are hillbillies. These guys are rednecks. These guys are whatever you want to call them. Derogatory, being from Galilee, was not that wasn't a good place to be from. All right? And so, anyhow, they all they could do was just make fun of it until Peter stood up and explained to them, no, guys, don't pass judgment too quickly, because this is what the prophet Joel promised years and years ago, that the Spirit of God would come into this place. But I want to go back to the gospel today that we just read, because in it, Jesus is telling why the Spirit is going to come. He's explaining why he has to leave. All right? And he said, first of all, he's saying that everything that he did, everything that he said, comes because he is in the Father and the Father is in him. Amen? Jesus set aside his own independent use of his deity so that he could live a sinless life. You think about it. If he was still God, well then, when the devil came and tempted him, he couldn't really be tempted, could he, if he was God? And so theologians have argued this for centuries. Was Jesus not able to sin, or was Jesus able not to sin? Okay? And he set aside the independent use of his godly attributes, and he was able not to sin. Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit of God. He had just received it there at the baptism of John, and then he went out and was tempted for 40 days by the devil. And so Jesus was able to withstand temptation, not because he was God, but because he had the Holy Spirit in him. Guess what? The same Holy Spirit that each one of us has. The Bible promises us that he has given us, at salvation, he has given us that Spirit, that portion of the Spirit, that down payment of the Spirit. Now, there are denominations that say, I want to look a little bit more at that Spirit, and I want to look a little bit more at what the Bible says about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, and so there are brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, that their praise and worship is a little bit more loud than ours. Let's put it that way. Okay, and I'm not here to cast dispersion or to criticize, but you know there is that passage in Scripture, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's important for Christians to know we have the Holy Spirit, and we need to know why the Holy Spirit is there. Okay, we walk with the Spirit. So let me get into what Jesus is saying here, and he says in verse 12, "Verily, truly, I tell you that one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." How many of you have read that passage before? Okay, and you're saying, then what does that mean? Because Jesus was going to the Father, then the Father could send the Holy Spirit upon all believers. Not just Jesus. All believers now have the Holy Spirit of God. And now we can do the things that Jesus did. I must have misread that. We truly can't do the things that Jesus did. Let me say, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. How about that? Okay? And so, we must understand, how did Jesus do the works that he did? Because Jesus, even though he the visual manifestation of the Godhead, that's what the sun is. That's what Muslims can't figure out, okay? Jesus can't be God because he's the son of God, and how can, you know, God have a son, and now we're talking two separate people. They're thinking with their brains and not with their hearts, not with their spirits. Amen? You got to know what the Word of God says and then accept it, even if we don't understand it. But Jesus was there, and he said, the Father is in me, and God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is spirit, so he's in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came down as a dove on the day of Jesus' baptism, and so now Jesus is carrying the Holy Spirit. So while Jesus walked this earth, folks, we have the manifestation of the Trinity right before us. Amen? How wonderful is that? But Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, so he has submitted himself to the will of the Father, then how does he do it? Because God reveals his power through the Spirit of God. If you don't believe me, you got to read Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Okay? And the Spirit of God hovered upon the darkness. Alright? It was through God's Spirit that God was creating the worlds, the universe. Amen? And so now Jesus, he's got the will of God because the Father's right there. And now he has the power of God because he has the Holy Spirit right there. And he's able to go about calling people out of graves, healing people, and things like that. And then he gives us this thing here that I'm almost afraid to read it to you. Because it can do one of three things. It can give you confusion. It can give you lack of faith. Or it will super empower your faith. Because he says, in fact, we'll do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And when he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit into each one of our hearts. So now we can hear we can see what the will of the Father is, and we can accomplish that will because the same way Jesus did through the Spirit of God. Believe me, I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay, I wish I could say it's done and we all start walking around in supernatural ways that just blows people away, but it's something we're going to have to grow into. It's something that the Bible says it. You know, I've got to believe it. Amen? Okay, and so now we have the opportunity to do things more miraculous than the disciples did when they were walking with Jesus. Because they didn't have the Spirit of God like Jesus had the Spirit of God. They didn't have the Spirit of God like we have the Spirit of God until the day of Pentecost. Then they got the Spirit of God, all right? And then he starts talking about, now I will do whatever you ask in my name. And I will tell you, I've asked a lot of things of God in Jesus' name. And sometimes I get a yes. And sometimes I get a no. And sometimes I get a not right now. Now, I will tell you that just like all of you, I do not like answers that have no in it. And I don't like answers that say, not right now. Because when I'm coming to God, I want something from Him, and I want to see the heavens split open, lightning flash, thunder rolls, and something miraculous has happened. But guess what? I'm not God. Amen? I'm living my life in a desire to pursue the will of God. Amen. And all I can tell you is that merry-go-round is going, and it's going, it's going, it's moving. That's the kingdom of heaven. And the best that I can do is tell you, you jump up there and you grab that brass ring and you hold on for all that you can. And I don't know what God will do in our lives. when we surrender totally our will to Him. All right? But then He goes on to say, because, you know, people start saying, well, I'm claiming this in Jesus' name, I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. But in 15, He says, but if you love Me, you'll keep My command. Oh, wouldn't you know it comes with a, there's a caveat in there. Yeah, if you love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. Amen? This is not something that God just willy-nilly passes out. All right? He says, no, I have children who love Me and have dedicated their lives to learning My Word and abiding by what they perceive in My Word. And when they live that way, there's going to be supernatural things that happen in their lives. And He says, and I will ask the Father, this is when He gets to heaven, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Who are we talking about? The Spirit of God. He said, I've got to leave. Alright? But if I don't leave, then you will never receive the Spirit of God. But when I do leave, I will ask the Father, and He'll send you another advocate to be with you forever. Can you ever do a Jonah and run away from God? Not on your life. You can have a temper tantrum and stomp your feet and tell God just how mad you are and you're not going to serve Him any longer and all that good stuff. And I gotta believe that the angels up in there in glory are just laughing their behinds off. Yeah, here's another one thinks that he can live without God. Isn't gonna happen. Hey, amen. I told you all the story of my little brother. Hopefully he didn't watch this episode today. But we had a cement floor in our laundry room in our first little house that we lived in when my parents moved back to Michigan, from California. And so anyhow, when Mama would tell Steve something he didn't want to do, he'd get mad and he would throw himself on the floor in the laundry room and smack his head against the concrete. You know, and Mama, you know, good Marine, she'd just look at it, tilt her head, turn around and walk away. You know, Mama, don't you care? Says he'll either come to his senses or knock himself out, one of the two, you know. Being raised by Marines, your parents have a very pragmatic outlook on life, alright? And that, but we see, as much as we're kind of snickering at the, you know, how ludicrous it was for my brother to try to get his way by smacking his head on the concrete, we do the same thing every day to God. Well, if you're not going to answer my prayers, I'm going to smack my head on the concrete. Alright? It just doesn't happen. Alright? But listen to this. I'm going to give you another advocate. He will be with you forever. You, in your good times and in your bad times, we have the Holy Spirit of God walking here with us, whispering in our ear, if we'll let Him, if we'll pay attention, telling us, you don't want to make this choice. You really want to make this choice. Because remember what we've learned. Our lives up to this moment are just the sum total of every choice we've ever made. Amen? But now we've got the Holy Spirit, and so we can say, you can take that road if you want to, but probably wouldn't be a good idea. But this one looks so pretty. Yeah. I could see it. D.L. Moody used to say, all devil's apples have worms. All right? They all look good. Alright, amen. So he says, and this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, because He abides in you, and He will be in you. That is a forever thing. You can't outrun the Holy Spirit. You can't dodge the Holy Spirit. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is with you. He is that, like the Tom and Jerry cartoons, the good angel and the bad angel sitting on old Tom's shoulder. All right? And that Holy Spirit is there whispering to you the right path to take when that opportunity arrives. He says, I have said these things to you while I'm with you. This is important because he's getting ready to leave. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. Amen? Okay, you gotta remember that before the Holy Spirit came, when the disciples were left on their own, even after they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, okay, what was it that they decided to do? Peter said, I'm going back fishing. Alright? This has not worked out the way that I thought it should work out. I'm going back fishing. And he's feeling really low also because he knows he's, you know, disgraced Jesus and denied him three times and all that good stuff. And so he goes back fishing. But praise God, you know, here's this man, I've got to make a living, I've got to raise some money, I'll go back to doing what I know how to do best, I'm going back to fishing. And praise God, God said, no. And he fished all night and got what? It's one of those round numbers. Okay? Got absolutely nothing. To make matters worse, Jesus is on the shore saying, children, did you catch anything? It wasn't even, hey guys, how's it going? You know, children, did you catch anything? Ooh, boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be within earshot of the murmurings that would have come from that boat of fishermen at that point. I am sure there were some words there that not even my parents knew. All right? No, we have not caught anything. Oh, cool. Well, children, try this. Throw the net on the other side. All right. So, Jesus said, yeah, you're going to go back to living your life your way. To that I say, no. But now if you're going to do things my way, you've obeyed me, you've thrown the net on the other side of the boat. To that I say, yes. All right? Aren't you glad that God said no? Aren't you glad that the disciples didn't get out there and make a great big haul of fish and say, yeah. Yeah, we can do just fine without Jesus. It was a good 3.5 years, but man, we can make a living again doing what we were doing before Jesus came into our lives. No. He said no to them, and it broke their hearts. It broke their will. They were discouraged. They were despondent. But it was the setup for Jesus telling them that he's not done with them yet. He's not finished with them. And it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And so that 3.5 years with Peter and the rest of the disciples, in one ear and out the other. They didn't go back to thinking one single thing that Jesus had taught. They went back to my life before Jesus. And they were failures. All right? But the Holy Spirit came. So that now, 10 years after Jesus, 10 years, 10 days after Jesus returns to heaven, and they're being obedient, and they've got 120 other believers up there in that upper room, and they're just waiting for whatever that power is that God, that Jesus said he would send them, and then boom, it hits. Amen. Now Peter goes down, and what does he do? Dude, he's quoting Joel. He is just, you know, I mean, he is pointing the finger at each one of those people. Yeah, this Jesus whom you hung on a cross, you know, I mean, all of a sudden he has all this fire. All of a sudden he's remembering all of these lessons from Jesus. All of a sudden he's remembering his Bible. Where did that come from? The Spirit of God. Alright, he'll remind you of these things when I'm gone. And so, he'll remind you of all that I have said to you. And then Jesus signs off. Peace I leave with you. Beloved, there is one thing that should typify our lives, and it's not miracles. And miracles are great, okay? But the one thing that should typify our lives is peace. All right? It is so interesting when somebody goes down to renew their rent and there's an increase in their rent. That goes through this place like a wildfire. Oh, did you hear? Our rent is raised, you know, 100, whatever it is. I mean, bad news travels fast, all right? And, but if you know Jesus, then you know that God didn't bring you here just to leave you destitute here. If God brought you here, He's got a plan for you here. And when you know that in your heart of hearts, you can have peace when your neighbors are jumping off third floor balconies. They'd go higher if they could, but it's only three stories, all right? Oh my goodness, I can maim myself by jumping off the third floor belt. You know, all is lost. No, all isn't lost. Because the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. And if we get that into our hearts, we will have a peace that surpasses understanding. It don't make sense. Excuse my grammar. But it stuck, didn't it? Amen? It doesn't make sense to have that kind of peace in times of turmoil. But we know that our God promises that He can turn all things to good to those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Folks, we celebrate the birthday of the church because we're celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't care whether you feel the Holy Spirit or not. The Bible says that He has given to each of us the earnest of the Spirit. It's His down payment towards our final redemption. Amen? That's how we know that when the resurrection comes, when that final redemption comes, here, there, and we sang it in the song, it's either going to happen when I go by way of the grave or in the air. All right? I know what my future holds for me, my ultimate future. There might be a few ups and downs, a few bumps or whatever on the road until that happens, but I know what my ultimate future holds for me, and I am trusting God. This has been an interesting pilgrimage for Terry and I in dealing with this cancer. Amen? And, having to trust God instead of, well, everything's going all hunky-dory and peaches and cream and all that stuff. But here, let me throw a little word in there that just makes everyone's blood run cold. Cancer. Cancer to Jesus is no worse than a cold. Amen?
Amen.
It's just what happens when you live in a fallen world. That's all I can tell you. And some of us deal with it, others don't, but we have that satisfaction knowing that no matter what happens, we have eternity in heaven with Jesus. Amen. Father God, thank You for Your love. Thank You, Lord.